Take your Bible, if you have now, find Acts 13 and Romans chapter 10. Acts chapter 13, Romans chapter 10. I told the 11 o'clock service to put something in Acts 13. We would get there tonight. So I hope and pray that you did that. I began a message this morning entitled, Can You See It? Can You See It? And I want to finish this message tonight as we looking at missions. And we're looking at the responsibility of the church as involved in missions. And I want you to understand that there's a purpose bigger than you when it comes to missions. I want you to understand that missions is bigger than any one individual. It's bigger than any one church. But praise the Lord, churches, even reduced down to individuals, can have a part in worldwide missions. It's important for me that you see the process of missions. Not only that you see the process of missions, but that you also believe in the process of missions. And when I use the word missions, I'm talking about our church having a desire and a burden to see that the gospel is preached to every people group or nation in the world. And so we have that responsibility as given by the Lord Jesus Christ to see that the gospel is preached here in South Florida, in our community in which we live. But we also have responsibility for the world. And I wanted to show you that perspective this morning from the Apostle Paul, because he had a magnificent balance of missions perspective, both when it came to his own nation and also when it came to reaching the world. And so we started this morning in chapter number 10, and we started with Paul's desire for his nation to know the Lord. That desire is culminated in verse number 13, in that verse where it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be," what class? "Shall be saved." Okay, so this calling upon the Lord was what Paul wanted for his nation to do in recognition of the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And he was so burdened for them to be saved that he even wished that he himself could be accursed from Christ for his kinsmen. Now, the call to be saved is a call that springs forward from a heart of belief. And the Apostle Paul was telling them about this. And so if you come down in verse number 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so the Apostle Paul wanted his nation to believe upon the Lord. And the evidence of that belief was the fact that they would call upon the Lord to be saved. And verse number 3 of the chapter talked about their problem. Their problem was that they were trying to establish their own righteousness and not receiving God's righteousness. And the difficulty for them was the submission of themselves. Verse 3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And so what they were trying to do is, it wasn't that they didn't want righteousness, they just didn't want God's righteousness. And so they had not understood that the only way that they could have God's righteousness was that it must come through the Lord Jesus. Verse number 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And so the Apostle Paul was letting the Jewish people know that, listen, if you are going to receive God's righteousness, it must come through Christ. There's not any righteousness that you can establish. Verses 5 and 6 and 7 teach them that there's nothing more that needs to be done. All that needs to be done for God's righteousness has been fulfilled in Christ. And what they were supposed to do in verse number 8, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of" what? "Faith." And so the Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith. And he's introducing to them that not only for the Jew, but for the whole world, salvation is by faith. And so the Apostle Paul, wanting them to come to the position where they would exercise and put their faith upon the Lord, what the law was designed to do. The law was not given to the Jewish people by God so that they could somehow keep those Ten Commandments and somehow merit righteousness. The law was given to them so that they could look at those Ten Commandments and say, there ain't no way in the world I can do that. Then God would say, right. There's not a man or a woman that has walked upon the face of the earth that can be holy enough themselves to get to heaven. We have no righteousness within us. Righteousness has to be brought to us from the person of Christ. So the law was given as a schoolmaster to drive the Jewish folks to the Lord Jesus, the atonement for their sin. And so what they did is in their rebellion, they rejected Christ and they tried to somehow manipulate their own righteousness through keeping of the law. And so Paul was preaching them to that. Now, having opened up our eyes this morning to the need of God's righteousness, we find in verses 14 and 15 the plan and that I believe for missions inside the church. So here's the Apostle Paul's desire. His desire would be that his nation would call upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved. Now, he's asking you, church, some questions. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not what? Believe. So nobody can be saved without believing on the Lord. Okay? You, belief is that trust and that faith that's exercised by the heart. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth. That's the core of a man. That's the core of your inner man. That is where faith comes from. And so Paul says, now, if someone's going to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, how are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed? Now look at the next question. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. So in order for you to call upon the Lord, or in order for them to recognize that and to submit themselves to Christ, they must believe upon the Lord. And in order for them to believe upon the Lord, they've got to hear about the Lord. And by the way, you can have all the belief you want to, but any belief that's not in the person of Christ is belief that will not save you. Well, I just believe the way I want to believe, then you'll be in hell. Well, Pastor, who do you think you are to tell me how to believe? I'm nobody. But the Bible clearly says that only through the Lord Jesus can a man inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. So anytime you meet somebody and they say, well, I believe, ask him, what do you believe? And that answer had better come, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and for his shed blood for the atonement of my sin, and I put all my faith and trust upon him and him alone. If you've done that, say amen. All right. So Paul says, now, for them to call upon the Lord, they got to believe. For them to believe, they got to hear. Keep reading. And how shall they hear without a what? Preacher. So somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to declare the gospel. Somebody's got to tell them that they're a sinner and that the Lord is the Savior. In order for you to call, you must believe. In order for you to believe, you must hear. In order for you to hear, you got to have a preacher. Now keep reading. And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take an ink pen. And here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to go to verse number 13. And I would like you to circle or underline that verse and circle the words call or call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to come to verse number 14. And I want you to circle that word believed. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Circle that. You come down in there, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Circle the word heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? Circle the word preacher. So you've circled believe, you've circled heard, and you've circled preacher. Now, how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, circle that word sent. Somewhere in your Bible, beside Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and the first part of 15, write down, if you would, please, Acts chapter 13. And then if you just put something in Romans chapter 10, maybe your finger, so you can do this number, kind of flip back and forth. I want to show you something that's awesome, and I hope you can see it in Acts chapter 13. So the Apostle Paul knows that he has a burden and desire for his nation to be saved, for them to know the Lord, for them to call upon the name of the Lord. They must believe upon the Lord. In order for them to believe, they got to hear. In order for them to hear, they got to have a preacher. In order for them to have a preacher, that guy's got to be sent. Now, when you come to Acts chapter 13, this chapter is the missions chapter of the Bible. This is where we first get missionaries. These missionaries come, in verse number 1, out of a church that was at Antioch. Now, there were in the church, you should underline that word church, maybe double underline it. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now, these guys were all in the church, and they were all ministering, verse number 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So while Barnabas and Saul are in the church and they're serving the Lord, the Spirit of God tugs on their heart, tugs on the church's heart, and says, "I want you to separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for a specific calling that I have on their life." Now here we go. This is awesome. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they," what's that word? Sent. Circle it. "They sent them away." So they, now keep, follow the storyline here. "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." So they are called out of the church. The church recognizes the call upon them, and the church sends these two to the calling of the Spirit of God. These two go to a foreign land. They travel by ship. And you come to verse number 5. "And when they were at Salamis, they," what's that word? Preached. Circle it. "They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." That's a little bit what Brother Daniel's doing. "And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus." Bar means son of. So he was known as son of Jesus. You can see he's a sorcerer. Now watch verse 7. "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to," what's the word? Here, circle it. The word of God. "But Elymas, the sorcerer," for so his name by interpretation, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." That's just like the devil wanting to keep you from being saved. "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on this sorcerer," on him, "and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind." not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was no coward. And the Apostle Paul has been sent over here as a missionary, and he runs into this man who wants to hear about the gospel, but there's this demon-possessed sorcerer who's under the influence of Satan, who's standing in the way, and this guy's causing problems. And so Paul looks at him, and Paul just places a blindness upon the man, and the man can't see. And so he's not going to allow someone to distract from this. Now look at verse number 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, what's that word? Believed. Circle it. Being astonished, not at the miracle, but astonished at the what? At the doctrine of the Lord. All right. So I had you in Acts chapter 13, circle, sent, preached, hear, believed. Now you do have something right back in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Flip back, if you would, to that passage. If you notice in chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, the same words are there that I had you circle. They're just in reverse order. Paul says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call in him in whom they have not, say it, believe? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a, and how shall they preach except they be what? Same words in Acts chapter 13, they're just in reverse. So in Romans chapter 10, Paul says, now this is the process of missions. The process is, if we want people to call upon the Lord, they got to believe. In order for them to believe right, they got to hear about the Lord. In order for them to hear, somebody's got to preach to them. In order for somebody to preach to them, somebody's got to be sent. In Acts chapter 13, we have a testimony of what happened in Sergius Paulus's life. Paul and Barnabas are sent, one over here at the bottom over here. They go and they preach, next level down. Over here, it was the second from the bottom. They preach and he hears, rising over here, and that hearing brings about belief. And so you've got over here, believe, hear, preach, sent. The church sends the preacher, they hear, and they believe. And so this is the process of missions. I think that's pretty cool. If you do, say amen. Amen. All right. So can you see that? So how does that relate to our church? The church at Antioch probably never met Sergius Paulus. I was reading, and some of the Bible historians say that this man went on to be a very faithful and tremendous minister for the cause of Christ. And somebody recorded that even down for generations through his family, the gospel went on in the Paulus family as it was began in this man's heart. But all the church at Antioch did was they reckoned the movement of the Spirit of God. They sent the missionary. The missionary went and preached. The man heard. And based on that hearing, the man believed. Now, there's a lot of things changing in the world today, but understand this. This Bible does not change. Okay? So the philosophy for missions is changing like crazy. Every church is adopting something different. I'm not saying there's not different ways to approach this, but still, for people to call upon the Lord, they got to believe. In order for them to believe, they got to hear. In order for them to hear, somebody's got to tell them. In order for somebody to tell them, somebody's got to be sent. So our church, we are involved in sending missionaries. And we are sending missionaries to go and to preach. They are going to the regions of the world and they're preaching and people are hearing. And as those people are hearing, those people are getting saved. Now, you and I, we may never meet those people on this earth, but we will meet them in glory. So here's my fear. Here's my fear. My fear is, and I don't mean this ugly, I mean this kindly. I'm not an ugly person. I don't mean that as far as looks. I mean, I don't mean to be ugly. But I don't want you to be small-minded. I don't want you to be small-minded. So here's your small-mindedness. That ain't for me. Well, let me give a couple of bucks. I don't know those people, man. I got my own problems. Missionaries, we got so many missionaries. We don't need any more missionaries. You know, I just don't see the purpose of this. The purpose of this is God called the church to take the gospel to the world. So here we are. There's a few hundred of us tonight. There was multiple hundreds of us this morning. We have the responsibility to do our part. And our part to a person is we can send. We send the ones that are called. The ones that are called go and they preach. They preach to the people who have a need for the gospel. Those people hear, and those people get saved. So I never have cash. Has anybody got cash out there? Anybody want to loan me cash for a second? You got cash? Malcolm, you always only have $1. Oh, you got a 10. Okay, here. Take your $1 back. Okay. So, $10. That's a number one and a Sunday at McDonald's. Actually, I get a number 8. I like the filet of fish sandwich. Don't tell me it's not real fish. It tastes like real fish. It looks like real fish. I like it. They're 2 for $5 now on a McPick 2. As a matter of fact, I'm going there in a few moments. You seen that Whopper commercial? One Whopper, two Whoppers, a Coke, a fry, $10. Somebody's getting fired. Food gets my attention. $10. Here, not much. Invested in missions, eternal value. So you got to understand, man, that just because we don't see it, doesn't mean it's not happening. And just because for us it's just a plate going by, we're investing in the souls of people. And so the process is, Paul said, if they're going to call upon the Lord, man, they got to believe, they got to hear, somebody's got to preach, they got to be sent. And you come back to the very first church, that's exactly what they did in reverse order. They sent, they preached, they heard, and they believed. And I just believe that that is the way that God is still intending for missions. Now, what are you going to do? Because every time we give money or every time we pray or every time we invest in missions, that's recorded for us. That church at Antioch, one day the Paulus family is going to stand before them. And the books are going to be opened, and that those people at Antioch that gave and sent so Paul could go over there and preach, those people are going to reap the blessing and the reward for those souls and the countless of souls that were won and the line that's gone all the way down. How do you know some of you haven't been affected by the Paulus family? That's missions. So get out of your small-mindedness. God is inviting you to participate in a worldwide program of evangelism that He is keeping track of. And so we have the responsibility to send missionaries. So I'm asking you a question. Do you do this? Do you do this? I'm not talking to the new people. I'm talking to the guy that's been here for 2 years Do you do this? Nah, Pastor, I don't have time for that. You better see missions with souls, and you get to be involved. Amen. I don't want our church to be small-minded. Can you see it? Can you see it? Now, one thing about seeing it, it's another thing to do something about it. So what do you do, Pastor? You say, God, what do you want me to do? You want me to go be a missionary? I'll go be a missionary. If you don't want me to go be a missionary, then I'll help send the missionaries that need to go. I'll be a missionary where I am, but if I'm not going to the field, then I'll send and I'll pray and I'll be involved. But if they're going to call upon the name of the Lord, somebody's got to send the preachers. I say, let our church be one. Amen. So, let me just help you a little bit here. I'm going to step away from this to make my final application. Just because I'm talking to you now, and I don't necessarily know that I have. I don't want to say it from up there. This is my reasoning. Okay. I don't know what you make. I don't know how much money you make. You don't know how much money I make. But if you make a full-time salary, and you make 50, I'm not talking to retired people, I'm talking to working people here. You have a full-time salary, you make 50, 60, 80, 100, 100 grand plus. Are you telling me you're giving $5 a week to missions? If your tithe, if the Lord's tithe is $100 a week, you're just pitching in another five for missions? Pastor, we're on a fixed income. Fine. Pastor, I'm retired. I don't make a salary. Now, that's fine. You can still participate. But missions is more than you just pitching money in. This ought to be something that's heavily weighted in your budget. It ought to be something that's sacrificial. You need to be open-minded about this. He died for me. He saved me. He's asking me to tell the story to others. So I'm going to flip him $5? No. There needs to be some sacrifice in this card. $5 won't stink and buy you a McDonald's value meal. Why would God's child just give $5? I don't feel like I could talk to you up there about that, but I can talk to you down here. He's worth more than that. Okay. Don't be small-minded. Sending to people being saved, you get to be part. Shall we pray?